This is Ronald Coleman inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour. Favorite story. We had a chat with one of America's favorite radio comedians. In the fair city of Hartford, there is a boiler factory. And in this boiler factory, only a very few days ago, there was a man named Hank Morgan. He was a foreman, and he worked very hard, making boilers. But a very few days ago, a very strange thing happened. A heavy piece of boiler plate, which was hanging above his head, came loose from its place.
Look out, Hank!
What happened? Where am I? Oh, my head.
Prithee, fair sir, what doest thou?
Come again?
What doest thou sitting beneath that tree and clothed in such strange attire?
Hey, if I was you, sonny, I wouldn't go around making cracks about other people's clothes. That crazy quilt you're wearing ain't exactly custom tailored.
Verily, sir, I understand thee not.
What's the idea of prancing around the peaceful Connecticut countryside wearing a suit of armor?
Fair sir, will ye just?
Will I which?
Will ye try a passage of arms for land or lady?
Hey, what are you giving me? Get along back to your circus or I'll report you.
I counsel thee, stranger, get thyself on horseback and dress thy shield. If it please thee or no, I shall try thee.
That's right, sonny, run along. Ta-ta. Oh, brother, the boys in the white coats will be out after him. A butterfly net.
Defend thyself.
Hey, what's the idea? Get away from me.
Come down from that tree, varlet.
Hey, now look. You play too rough. Put away that point of spear, Jack. You'll hurt somebody.
I command thee to descend yon tree on penalty of dire death.
Okay. Keep your shirt on. I'll come down. But put away that spear.
Very well. Now, you are my captive.
All right. Have it your way. We might as well get acquainted. What lunatic asylum do you hail from, buddy?
I am Sir Sagramore, by leave of His Majesty, good King Arthur, Knight of the Table Round.
Glad to know you, Saggy. My name's Hank Morgan, 123 North Elm Street, Hartford, Connecticut.
Mary, we must proceed post-haste to the castle. See? There loom its towers through the trees.
Oh, yeah. Bridgeport?
No. Camelot.
Bring on the rope.
Ah, we are arrived in time for the banquet.
That's great, Saggy. I'm hungry as a horse. Let's sit down and get at it.
Fool?
Huh?
Do you think that such as you eat at the table of the king? Stay thou here and fetch thee a bowl full of slops.
Well, thanks. You make a fella feel right at home.
Oh, Paige!
Yes, sire?
Guard this rogue until I shall summon him.
So be it, sire. He shall not escape.
Ha ha! Okay, I won't argue. Hey, what's your business around here?
I am a page.
Go along, you ain't more than a paragraph. Now look, Clarence, my boy.
Fair now, what did ye call me?
I called you Clarence. If it ain't your name, it ought to be. Look, tell me, how long have you been put up in this lunatic asylum?
Methinks thou talkest in riddles. I have never heard such language since my first birthday in the year 509.
Hey, tell me, kid, on the level. Where am I?
In King Arthur's court.
In King Arthur's... And the way you figure it, Clarence,
What's the date? 19th of June in the year 528. Huh. What ails thee, sire? You look pale.
Oh, Clarence, you'd look pale, too, if you'd just slipped and skidded 14 centuries. Now what's going on?
Oh, the banquet's just about over. I think the king's going to speak. Come, look ye between these pillars. Thou can't see everything.
Hey, who's that fellow at the head of the table up there?
That's the king. King Arthur himself.
Shh. Knights of the Table Round, vassals, freemen, and loyal subjects, list ye while we hear words of prophecy from our mighty magician, Merlin.
Knights and noble friends, I shall tell ye the humors of the clouds and the winds for the week to come.
I take it he's sort of a local weatherman.
But his words on weather are a useless babble. Forsooth, he is always wrong.
Just like I say, local weatherman.
Good friends and liegemen, the skies will be fair and cloudless until the next Sabbath.
Well, according to what you say, Clarence, that means I'd better carry an umbrella.
Mary, sir, what is that, an umbrella?
Don't worry your pretty head about it, Clarence. The umbrella won't be invented for about 7 centuries.
But there will be storms on the coast of Gaul within a fortnight.
Our thanks to thee, Merlin, for these views into the future. Now will Sir Sagamore tell his adventure and bring forth his captive.
That's you.
Me? Oh. Keep your fingers crossed, Clarence. Here goes nothing.
Royal sovereigns and noble friends, I came upon this horrible, sky-towering monster in an enchanted forest.
Huh?
For full 3 hours I gave him battle and slew 13 of his knights.
1 against 13. Bravo, Sir Sagramore.
Then did I come face to face with this poisonous, man-devouring ogre.
Me?
Oh, noble king, I have brought this terrible monster before you to be sentenced.
Such dangerous creatures as this must be purged from our royal forests. The sentence is death.
Oh.
On the 21st of June.
Oh.
By burning at the stake.
Oh.
And thou, send him to the dungeon.
Ever get in a mess like this?
Hey, huh? It is I, whom thou callest Clarence.
Clarence, old friend, I'm glad to see you. What have you got there?
Some food. I brought it from the dining hall. I'll slip it between the bars.
Good.
Here.
Blessings on thee, little man. Clarence, you're a pal.
Oh, I am truly sorry that thou art sentenced to die. Hast thou no relatives who will ransom thee?
Relatives? Sonny, my mother and father won't be born until Harrison's administration. I'm afraid I'm a dead pigeon.
But hast thou no magic, no wit to save thyself?
Well, I'm as good a magician as that old horse Merlin, but I... Clarence.
Yes?
Clarence, what year did you say this was?
528.
And the day after tomorrow is the 21st of June, you're sure?
Oh, of a certainty, fair sir. Prithee, why art thou so excited?
Well, I used to be sort of an amateur astronomer back in Hartford, and... By George, if my memory hasn't gone back on me, I think there's going to be a total eclipse of the sun on the 21st of June.
I know not whereof thou speakest. An eclipse?
I'm sure of it. By George, it is lucky. Clarence, you go tell the king that he has in his dungeon the greatest magician of all time.
Thou?
Who else? And tell him that if he tries to burn me at the stake day after tomorrow, I'll blot out the sun at high noon.
No.
Yes. I'll work my magic to plunge the whole world into darkness, Clarence. I'll take the sun from the sky and not restore it until the king grants me my freedom.
Why, surely this is greater magic than even Merlin pretends.
Merlin? Ha! When I get through with that old phony, he'll be lucky to get a booking in vaudeville. Now go along, Clarence. Spread the news. And let me know what happens. Clarence, you kidding? I've been awake all night. The mattress down here is no beauty rest.
I have good news for thee. I have persuaded King Arthur to move up thy execution to today.
What?
It was not easy to do ye this favor, but now ye can perform the miracle today and thereby save thyself another night in prison. Was it not a kind favor that I did ye?
Oh. Yeah, Clarence. Your kindness is killing me.
That sort of thing ain't healthy.
Fair, sir. I would not wait too long to perform my miracle. Oh. The king and all the nobles are here. They are impatient to see thee burn.
Apply the torch.
Now, sir. Bring the darkness and save thyself.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Clarence, but I'm afraid I can't get out of this one.
The sun is being swallowed up.
The sun is growing dark.
What's that?
Lord, have mercy on us. He is blotting out the sun.
Oh, mighty is thy magic, sir, and well done.
I'll be darned. It is the eclipse. Clarence, what day did you say this was?
Oh, this is the 21st of June. I told thee wrong yesterday. A day it slipped my mind.
Clarence, my boy, stand by for some fireworks. Silence, everybody! Silence! If a man moves, even a king, before I give the word, I'll blast him with thunder and consume him with lightning.
As king of this land, fair sir, I beseech you to bring back the sun and take away this darkness.
Well, I might, under certain conditions.
Name any terms, reverend sir, even to giving you half my kingdom. But banish this calamity. Spare the sun.
Well, here are my terms. You shall remain king, Arthur, and rule your dominion.
Thank you.
I shall be your first minister, sort of an executive vice president. Is it a deal?
Away with his bonds. Set him free. Now will you take away this darkness?
No, this darkness will last for an hour to teach you all a lesson.
But since thou art our deliverer, by what title shall we call thee?
Title, huh? Well, let me think. I guess I'm going to be the boss around here, your kingship, so why don't you call me that? Just the boss.
Oh, excellent title. By my authority as King of Britain, I do hereby dub thee Sir Boss.
I humbly beg you, King Arthur.
Yes, Merlin. What beseech you?
Is it fitting that the king's first minister be a poisonous man-devouring ogre?
Oh, come now. Did you boys fall for that line of malarkey from Sir Sagramore? Don't you know all that stuff he was feeding you was a pack of lies?
What? Ye dare to call me Sir Sagramore a liar?
Oh, I just said you watered the facts a little.
Ye have insulted me. I demand satisfaction on the field of honor. Sir Boss, I challenge thee to a duel to the death.
Duel to the death? Oh. I'm going to stick around here. I can see there's one thing I have to have. Life insurance.
As the old vaudevillians used to say, you ain't seen nothing yet. Into the land of Lancelot and Guinevere and Gawain steps a young gentleman hot as a firecracker out of our own century. What would you do if you suddenly found yourself at a ringside seat for the Knights of the Round Table? Well, what one particular citizen of Connecticut did is what we're about to hear in the second act of Mark Twain's Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court.
Unveils new miracle. Electric lights installed in Royal Palace at Camelot. Extra.
Men, thou shalt start work tomorrow morning on the assembly lines in the River Thames plant. Thou wilt manufacture a new automobile called the Guinevere 6 in honor of Her Royal Majesty the Queen by order of Sir Boss.
Go ahead, Merlin. Turn it on. Little switch there on the side.
It will not put needles in my fingers as when I thrust my hand into the light socket.
No, Merlin, you won't get a shock. Go ahead. It's just a radio.
Concluding our midday newscast.
Oh, Spotkins.
This is MABS, the Middle Ages Broadcasting System.
There is a man in there?
Listen.
This program was brought to you through the courtesy of Smiling Sir Gaheris, maker of fine armor. Double-breasted chain mail with a pleat in the back. Wears like iron.
Oh, enough. I warn thee, Sir Boss. All this magic bodes ill for the land of Britain.
Now, look, Merlin, old scout. We magicians got to show each other a little professional courtesy. You'll still have something to do. You can perform card tricks at parties and work the shell game now and then. And there's always the weather.
Methinks thou should look after thine own business. I would look after mine.
Okay, kid, no hard feelings. You know, there's just one thing makes me stop and wonder.
What is that?
What a dirty trick I'm playing on history. Yes, your kingship, you sent for me?
Hast thou given any thought to thy coming duel with Sir Sagramore?
That? I thought that was off the schedule. Saggy's still out of the country, isn't he?
He will soon return from his search for the Holy Grail.
Look, Your Majesty, why don't Saggy and me just let bygones be bygones, huh? Live and let live, forgive and forget.
Nay, Sir Boss, verily I wouldst remove this trial from thee if I couldst. For deeply grateful am I for the many devices which thou hast devised. Such as the bathtub with hot and cold running water. Ah, there is a comfort which I not dared to expect in heaven. But withal, I canst not call off thy duel. Thou must give battle to Sir Sagramore.
Ah, that's a wonderful noise. Makes me think of the old boiler factory in East Hartford.
What said thou, Sir Boss?
Nothing, Clarence. I was just dreaming of something which happened 14 centuries from now.
Will, please, you try on this breastplate for size?
Okay. Strap on the scrap iron, son. We'll see what kind of a figure I cut in a suit of armor.
First, Sir Boss, thou must don these steel sandals.
Uh-oh. These are comfy. Sort of like walking around with a U-boat on each foot.
Next, the greaves buckle on your legs.
That's what you call these stovepipes?
And next, the back plate.
Oh.
And then the breastplate.
Oh.
Yes.
Where does that coal scuttle go?
Over your hips, roughly.
Handy. Clarence, what does a man do when he has to sit down?
Everything is provided for. Next, the helmet.
Oh, all right, Clarence. Bolt me together.
There, Sir Boss. Oh, thou art indeed a noble sight. Try moving thy limbs. Walk about.
Clarence, shall we dance?
Indeed, thou wilt feel awkward at first.
Awkward? No pockets, no way to reach your cigarettes, no way to scratch yourself if you itch. Oh, Clarence, give me a nice cozy straitjacket any day of the week. And get me out of this.
Yes, sir.
Oh. In that get-up, I wouldn't have any more chance than a pickled sardine. Clarence, if I'm going to beat Sir Sagramore in mortal combat, I'm going to choose my own weapons. And you know what they're going to be?
What, Sir Boss?
Brains.
Cometh from Camelot. Flashes. Sir Sagramore is back. His first scheduled appearance on home ground will be on Sunday next, when he will engage in mortal combat with Sir Boss. It's a duel to the death, and may the best man win.
Everybody, canst not tell the knights apart without thy program. Names and numbers of each.
Ladies and gentlemen, the main event, the challenger, Sir Sagramore, in black armor, weight 219 pounds, just back from a search for the Holy Grail. The challenge, Sir Boss, in unidentified armament, weighing 151 pounds. This will be a freestyle combat to the death. And in just a moment, there's the trumpet call which beginneth the battle. Sagramore, a mountain of a man, astride a huge white charger. But where is Sir Boss? He has not yet appeared. The crowd grows anxious. Where can he be?
For the love of Pete, Clarence, hurry up with that pumping.
Marry, Sir Boss, I knew not that these tires should be packed so full with air.
That's good enough. The crowd's getting anxious. Now, Clarence, do you know just what you're supposed to do?
Methinks I can remember. Firstly, I do naught but watch with my heart in my mouth.
Keep your heart any place you want to, Clarence, but stand by. And when I yell alley-oop, that means I'm in trouble. And you're to hand me that.
By what name do you call it again?
It doesn't matter. It won't be invented for a dozen centuries. But if you want to, you can call it a hand grenade.
When thou sayest alley-oop, I givest thee the hand grenade.
Carefully, and don't pull the pin. And about 5 seconds later, it's going to rain Sir Sagramore. Here we go.
Oh, luck be with thee, good sir, boss.
Indeed, he's dressed only in thick tights. He hath no weapons save a long piece of rope, which he twirleth in his hand. And he hath no horse. Instead, he balances himself on a strange two-wheeled contrivance, which I think he calleth a bicycle. Sir Sagramore looks very angry. He lowers his lance and charges.
I warn thee, sir boss, thou art a dead man. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Sir Sagramore is preparing to charge, and the boss is swinging a large loop of rope above his head. They come together. Sir Boss turns aside on his bicycle, and Sir Sagramore is unhorsed. The boss strangled him with a flying noose of rope as he passed by and pulled Sir Sagramore off his horse. The boss is smiling to the crowd. Now he's riding his bicycle in front of the grandstand. No hands! Sir Sagramore seemeth to be furious. His squire helpeth him back to the saddle.
Verily, now shalt I slay thee, for now I shall pursue thee with mine enchanted broadsword.
Gotta fall back on enchantment, eh, Sir Saggy? Well, if you're gonna do that, I'm gonna call to my service the dread spirit with a Turkish name, 100 syllables long.
No, no, no!
Ah, you didn't think I knew his name, did you, Merlin?
But know thou, Sir Boss, that if thou mispronounceth one solitary syllable of the 100, then will the Turkish spirit turn on thee and slay thee.
Go tend to your knitting, Merlin. I'll look after myself. Come on, Saggy. Come on, Saggy. Get out that broadsword.
Sir Sagramore hesitates. He seemeth afraid of the curse of the Turkish spirit with the 100 syllable name. But now he starteth towards Sir Boss.
Okay, Saggy. Okay, you ask for it. Oh, Turkish spirit, I call on your thunders and lightnings to destroy yon knight. By your own name, I ask it. Abracadabra, Rumpelstiltskin, Anacopotkin, Walla Walla, Watanabe, Nebuchadnezzar, Gotadamarin, Hickai Cock, Anti-Disestablishmentarianism, Incommunicado, Minnetonka, Hiawatha, Tavarich, Slavko Borkovich.
The boss is stopping for air, but still Sir Sagramore advances upon him.
Methuselah, Mahatma Gandhi, Kaiser Fraser, Adjutant Topeka Santa Fe, Pomona, Zeus, and Cucamonga. Alley-oop.
Here thou art, Sir Boss.
Thanks, Clarence. I hate to do this to you, Saggy, but you asked for it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sir Sagramore has just been blown asunder. Sir Boss is the victor.
Ah, it was nothing.
Stay, hold, silence, one and all, silence. Sir Boss, thou mayest be the victor, but I, Merlin, have yet a word to speak. Thou hast disturbed our lives with strange magic. Thy wit has upset our houses and our towns. Thy enchantments have made us wonder in what day and age we were born. Therefore do I, Merlin, cast the spell upon thee, Sir Boss. Thou shalt vanish from our land. Thou shalt pass into a deep slumber. Thou shalt wake in a far country after sleeping 14 centuries. By my magic, I, Merlin, do decree it.
Come to the aid of Merlin.
Why? What happened?
He's keeled over. It's the first time his magic ever took.
back in our own century now, leaving magician Merlin out cold, back in the Middle Ages. You've been listening to Mark Twain's famous yarn, A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, the favorite story choice of the radio comedian Ed Gardner, the Archie of Duffy's Tavern. Our thanks to Ben Alexander, who played the Yankee, Joseph Kearns, who played Merlin, and to all the members of the cast and orchestra of this week's favorite story. Next week, one of the great romances of any language, Edmond Rostand's moving love story, Cyrano de Bergerac, the stage hit of two centuries from the Comédie Française to Broadway. It will be my pleasure to play the title role of Cyrano. That's next week's favorite story, and we hope you'll be listening.